Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We pray that the Lord will bless us and be near to us as we're found in his house again this evening. Let me just go through the announcements as briefly as I can. I do remind you of our building fund today. If you have any gifts or offerings towards that, then please leave them in this evening. The children's meeting recommences tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And do pray much for that work that the Lord will bless. That we'll see even new children, more children from this area coming and being part of that children's meeting on a Monday evening. As we mentioned this morning, then on Wednesday night, the prayer meeting and Bible study will be relocating back up to the Minor Hall. So do remember that from this Wednesday going forward. And in the will of the Lord, I'll be here to conduct that service. So that does mean there will be no online on the Wednesday nights. And so if you're tuning in week by week, let me encourage you and invite you to come and be with us, even in the building on a Wednesday night, and not simply sitting at home, but rather coming to the house of the Lord and being with us as we study God's Word together. For those that are able and have signed up to come to the Let the Bible Speak recordings, do remember they are this Thursday night coming in our Lurgan congregation. As we mentioned this morning, don't come for 7 p.m. if you signed up for that, but simply come at 7:30, enjoy a cup of tea, light refreshment before the two recordings begin from 8 o'clock and then 9 o'clock. The Youth Fellowship recommences this Friday night coming at 8 p.m. It's open to all young people of our congregation and even others as well in the area. We invite all of the youth to gather together on those Friday nights to have times of fellowship one with the other. Our service is next Sunday, Sabbath school in the morning, 10:30, and then the regular times of worship, 11:30, 7 p.m, and of course the seasons of prayer beforehand. It has been encouraging to see those gathering aside, especially in the evening time. The numbers are very strong in the prayer meeting, and we rejoice in this, but there's plenty of room for more. It's a good sized room we're meeting in, and we encourage others to come and to be part of those times of prayer before the services. A couple of other announcements. Remember the youth rally tonight, Knocknacloy, immediately afterwards, commencing in around 8:45 this evening, and young people are invited to go across to that. Can we mention on behalf of our Dungannon congregation, they were planning to have their annual ladies meeting next Monday evening. That'll be Monday the 19th, but because that is the day of Queen Elizabeth's funeral, they have postponed that for now. So ladies, do make note of that. That ladies' meeting in Dungannon has been put off for now. The Clogher Valley meetings, we did mention as we could get in contact with each one, the reopening of their hall was put off. They were to have special week of meetings as well this week, and they will also have been cancelled for this time. But one meeting that's going ahead tomorrow evening is the graduation service for two of our students from the Whitfield College. Mr. Jonathan Story and Mr. Stephen Crawford will be graduating tomorrow night after completing the four-year course, and they will be also licensed by our presbytery. So do remember these two brethren in prayer. Pray that the Lord will lead them, will guide them, and in his will open doors of service for both of them. Do remember as well, I believe it's from tomorrow onwards, the students will be back in college and recommencing their studies for another year. So keep them in your prayers that the Lord will bless them, that the Lord will be near indeed to them. We're going to commence now our worship. We're turning to the psalm section, to the psalm 62. And we'll sing together the opening 8 verses of the psalm. Psalm 62, you'll find it on the page 56. My soul with expectation doth depend on God indeed. The psalm 62 and the opening 8 verses will stand together as we sing, please. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
let's still ourselves in God's presence. Now together in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee. We do enter into Thy courts with thanksgiving and with praise in our hearts. We come to Thee this night rejoicing. God, even as we consider the psalm that we've just been singing, how often it brings us afresh to the rock. We thank Thee for that sure foundation upon which we stand. We thank Thee, O God, for the day and hour when each of Thy children have been plucked up out of the miry clay, when their feet were set upon that rock, Christ Jesus. We thank Thee and praise Thee for that sure foundation upon which we are founded this night. We thank Thee that He is the only rock. Yea, He is that chief cornerstone. And, O God, we come to Thee rejoicing this night in salvation which has been purchased for us, salvation which has been given to us even by Christ Jesus. We thank Thee for the fact this night that we have blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And, O God, we come to Thee rejoicing, come to Thee with thanksgiving in our hearts, for we confess we're not worthy. We confess, O God, we're nothing more and nothing less than sinners. And yet this night we rejoice we're sinners saved by grace. We thank Thee for being brought from death unto life. We thank Thee for the eyes being opened, that we who were once blind, now we see. We who we were once lost, now we're found. And Father, what a blessing it is tonight to know Jesus Christ and to have that personal relationship with Him. And Father, we do come to Thee even at this even time of Thy day. And Lord, as the hymn says, Lord, even in even time, abide with us. Lord, be with us this night. We thank Thee for the presence of God this day. We thank Thee for it in the Sabbath school with the teachers and with the children. We thank Thee for it in the morning time as we came together to worship, as we came together to sing praise, as we came together to read and to study Thy word. And Father, we do pray once again that we will know the help and we will know that presence, that abiding presence of God, even with us tonight. Lord, be near and bless us. Lord, we're nothing without Thee, but our eyes are fixed upon Thee. Lord, Thou art the one who has the words of truth. Thou art the one who can give us that help, that power from on high. And to Thee alone we turn. To Thee alone we lift our eyes. And, O God, this night we pray, be with us. Be even upon us in the Holy Spirit. Lord, use us, I pray Thee. Lord, remember this work for good. We do thank Thee for the return, even off the autumn time and the opportunities that it gives to us. We thank Thee for the Sabbath school this day, and we thank Thee, O God, even as we look in expectation to tomorrow night with the recommencement of the children's work. We pray that this will be a turn once again, that we will know safety and travel for each one. We pray for an increase in numbers. We pray, O God, for those that have been invited, encouraged, those, O God, that were reached in the Holiday Bible Club, and Father, even others in this area, neighbours, and Lord, individuals that, Lord, connect it with the school, connect it with families. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give us great nights ahead, even in the Monday evenings. We pray for souls. Oh, Father, we think of the words of the Lord Jesus as He was in the house of Zacchaeus, and He says, this day salvation has come. Oh, Father, may that be the realization that, yes, tonight in this meeting, but, oh, God, on the Monday nights and the Sunday mornings, that salvation will come to this house, that we will see and we will know that the Lord is moving, the Lord is blessing, that we will see changes, spiritual changes within the children, that they will be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Lord, remember us, we pray Thee. Remember the youth work as well. We think of it as it recommences on Friday. Bless it. Bless our young people. Encourage their hearts. Lord, draw them out after Thee. Draw them ever closer to Thee. Lord, so much temptation, so much expectation the world puts upon them, so much pressure. Oh, Father, enable them to be those lights for Thee. Enable them to stand for Thee, those that are saved, to take that stand in that simplicity, oh God, in that faith, to have that backbone that only Thou canst give them. Lord, we think of those not saved. Lord, we do pray for children, for young people, that Thou wilt have mercy And oh God, that thou wilt unite families in Christ. We are rejoicing in this night that thou art not finished in salvation, that souls are still being saved, that the grace of God is still being imparted to individuals who need it. Oh Father, come in this area, even in the hard times, and Lord, this area has experienced once again the passing of loved ones. Lord, young tragedies. Oh God, we pray that that solace of the gospel, that comfort will be there. We think even of the Rainey family as they have laid their loved one to rest this day. Lord, hearts that are broken. Father, we pray for even that comfort that the gospel can give, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. The Lord Jesus Christ will have the glory even in such times. We think as well of the Brown family. Lord, comfort them. Open our eyes, O God. Save souls in these days and other families in this area. Lord, we just pray that in the midst of mourning, O God, that men and women will turn to Thee. They'll number their days. They'll apply their hearts. They'll give their all in repentance and faith to Christ Jesus. Lord, be near and bless us this night. Bless all of our church family as a whole. Bless those that are sick. O God, be near to them. Bless those that are elderly. Lord, encourage them in these days. Lord, for every family, may they know the hand of Almighty God upon them. Be near to us and bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 540, the hymn 540, the page 394. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. Press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. The hymn 540. We'll stand together again as we sing, please.
Thank you.
going to read the verses from Proverbs chapter 1. The book of Proverbs in the chapter 1. As I said, when we came to the end of Psalm 150, for quite a while I've been considering, well, what to do? Go back to Psalm 1. So, of course, reading the Psalms together are certainly a blessing. Or should we continue in the book of Proverbs and the books of poetry? Books of poetry are wonderful books. When I look at the book of Proverbs, I look at a book that I don't know will I ever preach through. Because really, each proverb, each verse is a sermon. And if I was going verse by verse, I would need extended life to get to the end of this book. But the book of Proverbs are wonderful teachings for us. Whenever you come to the book of Proverbs and you go through it, as we will do week by week, we're going to read half a chapter each week together. Whenever we read through it, look out for the word wisdom. Because this book, the book of Proverbs, is Jesus Christ, our wisdom. And so whenever we're thinking of wise, being wise or wisdom, always remember Jesus Christ. We're going to read the opening 16 verses of this chapter this evening. The book of Proverbs, the chapter 1, the verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts this evening. As our offerings are lifted, we'll sing together the hymn 322. Hymn 322, the page is 306. I hear the Saviour say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. The hymn 322, and the offerings will be lifted as we remain seated for the first part of the hymn, please. Invite you to open your Bible now in the book of Ruth and the chapter 3. The book of Ruth and the chapter number 3. I want to finish off this chapter this evening. Just a very short reading from the book this evening. Ruth chapter 3. The verse 16 we're going to break into the reading at. Ruth chapter 3 and the verse 16. The word of God says, when she came to her mother-in-law, speaking of course about Ruth as she returns from the threshing floor. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.' Then said she, 'Sit still, my daughter, until I know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the things this day. Sit still, my daughter, until I know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Trusting the bridegroom. It's what we've entitled the message for this evening. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee, rejoicing again, O God. Even that wonderful hymn that we sang together, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe." Father, we thank thee for the finished work of the cross. We thank thee for the payment of debt. We thank thee, O God, this night that it is a complete work in Christ. And we thank thee, O God, that salvation is free to each one who will believe. If there be one in our gathering out of Christ, maybe listening online or even tuning in, listening at a later time, O God, that I will speak to them, that I will open up their eyes, that they will realize they need to put their faith, their trust in the bridegroom, in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Lord, to that end, I pray that thou wilt enable me to preach thy word this night. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. We pray for a stillness in the meeting. We pray, O God, that thou wilt prepare every heart and speak to every heart. Lord, do that work that needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. How exciting an engagement is for a couple. That thrill in the hearts of both the man and the woman, one at having been asked and the other at having not been turned down. I can remember the night I got engaged. It's not that long ago, it's maybe about 16 odd years. I had certain plans in place, they didn't all come to pass. Thankfully, the location worked out. As you can see, the proposal worked out. But I can remember then, after proposing to Alex, going to her father's, our family's home, asking the father for the hand in marriage, then scaring the life out of her mother whenever she realized we were now engaged. I remember going then, both of us, we went out to Mum and Dad. We told my Mum and Dad as well. And eventually then dropping Alex back home and then finally getting to bed myself. I remember I didn't sleep much. There's much excitement. There's much joy. Sleep didn't come quickly. You're filled with excitement. You're filled with that thought, that thrill of a future life together. It's an exciting time, of course, for the couple. It's also an exciting time for the families. You see that even with Naomi, the verse 16, it tells us that when Ruth returned, when she came to her mother-in-law's still up. Her mother-in-law had given her the plan, as it were. Her mother-in-law was the one, beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 3, it was the mother-in-law who started the whole process of the engagement. Her mother-in-law gave her the directions of how to present herself, what to do to get ready, how to go to the threshing floor, and all of the different parts. She then left and went there at night. And she's now returning just before dawn. Naomi hasn't went to bed. Naomi has stayed up all night. She's waiting in expectation. She's waiting in hopefulness. She's waiting to hear what has happened. And you see that whenever the verse 16, whenever she came in to her mother-in-law, Naomi said to her, "Who art thou, my daughter?" In other words, are you still Ruth the Moabitish widow, or are you Mrs. Boaz to be? How has it gone? How has everything worked out? Did he accept your proposal? Is there a marriage in the pipeline? It's lovely to see those final words in verse 16. Ruth told her all that the man had done to her. She tells her everything. So encouraging. This is just a side thought, as it were. It's so encouraging whenever children can speak openly with their parents about all matters. Not just whenever the child has done something well and they want to tell mum and dad, but also maybe whenever a child's in trouble, whenever there's something difficult, maybe something hard's happening. It's wonderful when a child, when a young person can go to their parents, whenever they feel safe, when they feel that they can trust their parents, that they can look to their parents. Sadly, it's not always the case. Sometimes the case, the child feels they can't talk to their parents. Children, young people, let me encourage you, be ever open and honest with your parents. Never hide from them and never lie to them. The Lord has blessed each young person, each child in our congregation with parents who love them. Parents who have been ordained by God to guide them, to instruct them, to encourage them, to support them, to strengthen them. Parents, let me encourage you as a parent. Be there for your children. There may be times when you receive news from a child that may even break your heart. It may be greatly upsetting to hear. But let me encourage you, ever be there for them. May they ever know that they can come to you and speak to you. The relationship between Naomi and Ruth is a wonderful illustration of how a mother-child relationship ought to be. The mother was there waiting for her. The daughter was willing to speak to her. There was that common love, that common desire, that common goal, as it were, together. There was a unity of purpose between child and parent. Then we come to verse 18. It's one final instruction before the chapter closes out. One final instruction from mother to child. Naomi simply says to her, "Sit still, my daughter. Leave the whole matter now with Boaz. Trust him. Have faith in him that he will do what he has said he will do." What is faith? Hebrews 11, verse 1 tells us, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." You apply that into the life, or you apply that into the situation for Ruth. She is now having to trust Boaz, and she's not going to see what Boaz will do. She is being told, "Sit still, you stay in the house." She is being told, "Leave the matter with him." She will not see what he will do. She will not hear what he will say. Ruth had to trust Boaz. She had to demonstrate faith in the bridegroom that all things would work together for good for them. We need to trust our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, for everything. We need to trust him for salvation. We need to trust him for sanctification. We need to trust him for security. We need to trust him for sustaining us even through this life. We must look to the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I believe through these final verses, I can bring you three reasons why to trust him. Why to trust him with all your heart. Firstly, the verse 17, the first reason to trust the bridegroom: the wealth is his. the wealth is his. Ruth says to Naomi, she says, "These 6 measures of barley give he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Ruth, having returned from the threshing floor, told us, and we looked at it, that verse previous, that he laid it on her, the verse 15, as that great load, and he's just set it upon her back or upon her shoulders. And he has laden her down with that blessing, with that gift. Certainly it's a great gift. He was encouraging her, don't go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Here, take this. And he just kept going, measure after measure after measures put upon her shoulders. This great gift to them. And yet it wasn't all of his wealth. It was more than they needed. But it certainly wasn't all that he could give. After all, he's described, and we've looked at it previously, he's a mighty man of wealth. And in a short period of time, look at the difference he has made to Naomi's life. I'm not even talking about Ruth's life, I'm talking about Naomi's life. Naomi came back into Bethlehem from Moab, and she came back, and her testimony was, "I'm empty-handed. The Lord hath brought me back empty. I went out full. I had a husband. I had children. I had all of my possessions. But now I'm coming back. Don't even call me Naomi. It's too pleasant. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. Why? I'm empty." And yet now, what's the testimony? Look what Boaz has done for her in such a short period. She's now full. Every day she was coming home from the field, Ruth was coming home with the lunch left over. She was coming home with the handfuls of purpose in her hands. And now it's now measures being given to her. She's full because of the greatness of Boaz's wealth. And surely that ought to, and that no doubt did give them confidence going forward, that he had the wealth to purchase the land. He had the wealth to buy back, to be that redeemer for Naomi, or for Ruth. He had the possessions and he had all that was needed to go to the gate and to accomplish that which needed to be done. How much greater, surely, is the wealth of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply speaking of a prosperity gospel. Absolutely not. I'm not saying come to Christ, he'll give you physical wealth. That's not what the Lord promises to those that come to him. He doesn't say, come to me and I'll fill your bank account. Come to me and I'll give you the house. I'll give you the possessions. The Lord says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Yes, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and many more hills apart from that. But what I'm talking about is the spiritual wealth that is found in Jesus Christ. It's from that great wealth that we receive. That well-known verse, Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." The spiritual wealth of our God cannot be underestimated. It can never be realized to the full extent how great and how rich and how majestic is our God. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out." The depth of the riches. Paul the theologian never plumbed the depths. Paul the man who was a missionary right across the world at that time, all of the Roman Empire, never experienced all of God's grace and all of God's mercy and all of God's blessing. God is an infinite God. There's no limit to our God. There's no limiting of our God. Every attribute of God is to the infinite degree. His wisdom is as great as his power. And his power is as great as his knowledge. His knowledge is as great as his mercy. His mercy is as great as his justice. His justice is as great as his love. What a joy it is to be able to trust in such a God. Whatever you need tonight, Christian, take it to the Lord. Whatever the burden, whatever the stress, whatever the concern that is upon your heart and upon your mind, take it to the Lord. Why? The Lord is infinite. The Lord is full of wealth. The Lord is all of the spiritual riches. The storehouse in heaven is full. Your need He can meet. Naomi could tell Ruth, sit still. Trust Boaz. He can meet your need. Child of God, let me encourage you tonight, sit still. Trust the Lord. With all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Why? He will direct your paths. The wealth is His. But then secondly, I want you to see the verse 18. The witness is His. The witness is His. It tells us halfway down the verse 18. Naomi says to Ruth, the man will not be in rest. What a testimony Boaz had before all of the people. As we mentioned on previous occasion, Naomi knew Boaz. Before she ever moved to the land of Moab, before Elimelech uprooted and went with Naomi and the children, there was a time in their lives when Boaz had helped them. When Boaz had met them at the very point of their need. That time of a struggle, they went to Boaz. Boaz was the one who stepped up. And Boaz was the one who helped them. And so whenever she says in the verse 18, the man will not be in rest, she is speaking from experience. She is speaking from that past time whenever Boaz helped them. And she can say with that assurance, those personal memories that are flooding her mind and her heart, all of those years previous, she's saying with that same confidence, what he was then, he is today. What he did then, he can do today. He's as trustworthy in Ruth's day as he was in Naomi's day. There's that assurance within Naomi. That's why she can say to her, sit still, my daughter. The man will not be in rest. Boaz won't fail. Naomi can look back and she says, Boaz never failed me before. Boaz never let us down in our time of need. Sit still, my daughter. He won't rest. He won't sit at ease. He won't take his leisure. He won't just simply put it to the back of the pile. Sit still, my daughter. Why? Boaz is on the case. Boaz is going to deal with it. Boaz will sort the need out. What a confidence we have in our bridegroom. What a witness Jesus Christ has. Remember the words in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? That can be said, that there verse, if you take it in the spirit of the life of Boaz, Boaz was a man who said it. Naomi saying, trust him. Boaz, a man who has promised it. Naomi saying, sit still and leave it to him. Child of God, the Lord has promised. The Lord is a witness that has never changed. What he's promised in the past, trust him for today. What he's accomplished in the past, the Lord can still accomplish today. See him yesterday, today, forever. All may change, Jesus never. Now, whenever you read of the Lord Jesus Christ in the scriptures, you read of his life, even upon this earth, when he walked up and down the land of Israel. Went across the Sea of Galilee, came back across it, the miracles that he accomplished. You think of the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the moving of the heart of Christ, even at those times whenever he saw the people scattered as if sheep without a shepherd. You think even of the man that was full of the devil's legion, and whenever they came to him, what was he? He was clothed. He was in his right mind. Why? The Lord had stepped in. It's the same Christ tonight that we preach. He has the same ability tonight, even those loved ones within families that are still the slaves of the devil, entrapped with sin and entrapped with the power of the devil upon them. The Lord can clothe them. The Lord can make them in the right mind. Those times of sickness, even whether it be upon yourself or upon loved ones, the Lord healed in the past, the Lord can heal again. Even in these days when you hear of how the Lord intervenes in individuals' lives, take comfort what He's done for others, He can do for you. Isn't that what the hymn says? It is no secret what God can do. He's done for others, He'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. For it is no secret what God can do. The Lord Jesus has a witness tonight. He's an unchanging, unchangeable God. Ruth could sit still because Naomi says, He will not rest. I know Him. I know what He's done. I trust what He'll do. I can say the same of Jesus Christ. I know what Christ has done in the past. And I know what Jesus Christ can do tonight. And I know what Jesus Christ can do tomorrow. Sit still. He will not rest. The wealth was His. The witness is His. But thirdly and finally, I leave you with this. Verse 18. The work is His. The work is His. Naomi said to her, Sit still, my daughter, till I know how the matter will fall. The man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. Ruth is told to sit still. The work's not hers. She's done everything that she could do. What could she do? One thing. All she could do was go to Boaz. That's the only effort. That's the only aspect of the work she could do. That's all it was for her to do, was simply go to Boaz. It's the same today in salvation. The only thing an individual can do is come to Christ. The work's His. Whenever it came to that point in her life, Ruth is told by Naomi. Naomi says to her, Ruth, sit still. You're not going to the gate of the city. You're not the one who fulfills the law. You're not the one who can redeem yourself. You're not the one that can speak even to the other man that's involved in this. You're not the one who can speak to the leaders of the city. You sit still. You have no part to play in it. So it is with our salvation. Jesus Christ, who was made under the law, was the only one who could keep and fulfill the law. He was the only one who could buy us back. He's redeemed us, what does it tell us? Not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but He redeemed us with His blood. He didn't redeem us with any other man's blood. He didn't redeem us with our own blood. He didn't take the blood of a bull or of a goat. He redeemed us with His precious blood. The work was His to do. And there upon the cross, He completed it. Jesus Christ never rested until He finished the work. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and you look, you study into the cross, it was only Christ that could do it. His mother was sent home with John, and other disciples weren't even there at the cross, standing close by. There was no one else there. His Father turned the back on Him, and Christ is there as a substitute for our sin. Christ is there taking the punishment for our sin in His own body upon that tree. It was His work to do. And He did it. He did not rest until it was finished. Your salvation is His work. Your sanctification is His work. Your security tonight in the gospel is His work. He saves you, He keeps you, He protects you, He prepares you. The work is His. Philippians 1 to verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's no one else's. It's Christ's. That's the joy in every believer tonight. God's at work. That's the joy for every believer tonight. God never stops. God will not cease working in you until you're finished. And you will never be finished in this earth. The work to make you ready, the work to give you that glorified being and body for glory is not finished in this world. You're sanctified, that work continues until you reach glory. But it's his work to finish. He's also involved, of course, in the work of intercession. He ever lives to intercede for us. Christ never stops praying. He never stops praying for his people. He never stops praying with his people. The voice of Christ in heaven in terms of that intercession work continues every single moment. He's working. He never's at ease and never sits still, as it were, from that work. Ever presenting us before his Father. He perfects us all. He perfects all that concerneth us. Oh, how important it is to be stayed upon Jehovah. Where the hearts are truly blessed, finding, as he promised, what? Perfect peace and rest. You know, whenever your faith and your trust is in the spiritual bridegroom, there will be a stillness of mind and of heart. There will be that sitting still, that being still. Even as Naomi said to Ruth, Ruth, sit still. Leave it to Boaz. Whenever the child of God is still, leaves it to the Lord. That's full surrender. That's full trust and faith. You know, it's interesting, the Old Testament scriptures where it speaks of stillness. We've read the verse tonight, Ruth is told by Naomi to sit still. Isaiah 30, the verse 7, it says in that verse, their strength is to sit still. It shows the strength of a believer when you can sit still. Sometimes we pray, sometimes we take our petitions, we take our cares to the Lord. And we pray about it, we pray over it, and then the mind just continues to race. Maybe it's a concern about a loved one and you're just itching to get on the phone, to phone them to see what's happening, to see if they're okay. You've just prayed about it, but yet you're still not still. But the strength is seen in the sitting still. We're told to sit still, but Moses, he told the Israelites at the Red Sea to stand still. Never they're coming out of the land of Egypt and the Pharaoh's armies chasing behind him. Exodus 14 verse 13, Moses tells him, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. In other words, don't you try and swim through the Red Sea yourself. Don't you try and turn round and take on the enemy behind you. Stand still. See the salvation. They're sitting still, they're standing still. And in that well-known verse in Psalm 46 and 10, there's being still. Be still and know that I am God. Boaz was working for Ruth. She had done all that was expected of her. She went to Boaz. Now she came back. And Ruth was told by her mother-in-law, sit still. Leave it to him. He's not going to rest. He's not going to be doing anything else apart from focusing on your need. Leave it to Boaz. Child of God, tonight, let me say this. In your circumstances, God is working for you. God has a perfect will. He has a divine providence. We may not see what God will do. We may not understand all that God does. Ruth did not see what Boaz did or said. But she sat still. And she waited for Boaz to come back. And of course, we know the outcome. But the faith was there in the stillness. Her strength was there in simply sitting, leaving it to Boaz. Child of God, tonight, let me encourage you. Be strong in the Lord. Sometimes that means showing your strength and simply sitting. Going to Him, leaving it with Him, waiting in Him. The Lord will not rest. Unsaved, let me encourage you tonight to put your trust in the bridegroom Himself. All you can do for your salvation is come to Him. The work of your salvation is His. You will never be saved by your works. You will never be saved by any other. His work is a work of salvation. That's what it says in the wall behind me. Salvation's of the Lord. It's His work. If you're not saved, come to Him. Repent of your sins. Believe that the Lord can save you. Believe that the Lord will save you. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we thank Thee again for bringing us to Christ, even in this book. We thank Thee for the one who has finished the work upon Calvary. The one who now lives in the power of an endless life. The one who intercedes for His people. The one who sanctifies us. The one who prepares us to be with Him. We thank Thee for the finished work of Christ upon the cross for salvation. We thank Thee for the continual work of sanctification and intercession. We thank Thee, O God, that it's all of Thee. Lord, help us as Thy people to sit still. Help us to be still and to know that Thou art God. To know that we can trust Thee with all of our circumstances, all of our issues. We can take them to the Lord and leave them there. We pray for those that are not saved. O God, that Thou wilt have mercy upon them. They will realize, O God, even tonight, that they must come to Christ. For that's all they can do for salvation, is simply come. And trust in everything that He has done. Trust in everything that He has accomplished. Trust in that finished work of the cross. O God, bless Thy word to each heart. We pray this night that Thou wilt separate us now with Thy blessing.